All right, look down at your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 10. It says, "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." And what I want to preach on this morning is why the youth are despised. Why is it that the youth are despised? Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. A person who is in their youth basically can range anywhere from puberty all the way to being a young adult. And this is describing, when we talk about someone who is in their youth, we often are describing a person who is in their early stages of life. They have their whole lives ahead of them. And to be quite honest with you, these are essential years in the life of a young person. Why is that? Well, these are the years that crucial decisions are going to be made that are going to affect them for the rest of their lives. Yeah. You know, these are important years where they're going to make crucial decisions, create crucial disciplines and habits, and make decisions that can either cause them to be successful later on in life or just cause them to be complete failures and just not prosper at all and really destroy their lives in the latter years. These are the years that mold the disciplines and determine the type of adults that they will be. Now, young people, this is why it's important that you as a young person seek the Lord, amen? That you're seeking the Lord, that you're serving God, that you're reading your Bibles, that you're dedicating your life to serving God. This is important. Don't waste your young years and your young life on the things of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, just living a life of vanity. Why? Because later on in life, you will regret it, okay? And in fact, the Bible even tells us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." God is specifically admonishing us in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. He's telling us, hey, as young people, we need to remember our Creator, remember God. Why? Because you don't have the evil days upon you yet. And any adult will tell you, hey, the evil days are coming. There's going to come times when you have heartache, when you go through times of discouragement and depression, when you start losing your family members, when you start going through trials and tribulations, when life is not a bed of roses anymore. So when you're young, you need to remember your Creator in these days. Why? Because you don't have those evil days as of yet. You know, you don't have the burden of, you know, whatever financial burden that adults may have, the health burdens that adults may have. You're still young. You have energy. You have vision. You have your whole life ahead of you. But you know what? Don't waste those young years living for vanity. You should remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Okay. Now, he says in 1 Corinthians 16, he's talking about Timothy, and he's instructing those at Corinth. He's saying, hey, let no man therefore despise him, referring to Timothy, okay? He says, but conduct him forth in peace. Now, why would people be inclined to despise Timothy? Is he like a jerk? You know, it's just like, man, I hate Timothy. That guy's just a little punk. That guy mouths off all the time. He's lazy. He just plays video games all day. He just doesn't, you know, have purpose in life. He's just a haughty person. I don't believe this can be said of Timothy. But what I believe, or what I think, is that because he was young, the natural bent is to despise him. You say, what in the world? Are you serious? To just like hate like the young people? Yeah, because, you know, they potentially just don't respect him. They don't take him seriously because he's young, okay? And young people have a tendency to have a chip on their shoulder, to think that, you know, they're all that in the bag of chips, that they have all the experience that they need. They don't take admonishment well. They can't take instruction well. And so automatically in the minds of adults, often they think to themselves, this person is just a haughty person. This young guy thinks he knows everything there is to know about life, and yet he knows nothing, okay? And this is why he tells him, hey, Timothy's not that person. Don't despise Timothy, okay? And look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. It says, these things command and teach. Let no man, speaking to Timothy, despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So Paul is teaching Timothy to counter that potential aggression towards him by being an example. He says, look, when you go forth and you're leading the church, you're discipling people, make sure no one despises you. That the ball's in your court at that point, right? You know, if someone despises you, it's not because it's not the church's fault. It's not the adult's fault. It's because you're not becoming an example that people would want to emulate. Okay, is what he's basically teaching them there. Don't give the adults a reason to scorn and to despise you. You should live above reproach and excel in these qualities is basically what he's telling them. And you know what? We should also take heed to these instructions as well. Okay, and try to exemplify this template of Christian living, etc. Now, today in 2020, if the instruction then, 2,000 years ago, was not to despise the youth, that means the temptation and the tendency to despise them today is so much the more. Yeah. Because of the fact that, you know, we're nearing the end, people are waxing worse and worse, you know, entertainment in the world has infiltrated churches so much the more, and children or young people have a tendency to become despised because of their attitude, their disposition, etc. You know, young people today can often exemplify attributes that adults can scorn. You know, and this is true with every generation. You know, the Bible even tells us in Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Now, that was then. But don't you know a couple people today that they curse their parents, they cuss them out, they backtalk them, they even try to get physical and aggressive with them? You're like, yeah, I was one of those, you know. Not me. You know, I could never lift up a hand towards my mom because she would just probably catch it and whoop me even more. Okay? I come from a single-parent home. My mom basically raised me with my brother and my sister, and she, but you know what? Her hand was heavy, and she was very strict, and she was very disciplined, and that's one of the reasons I'm not involved in gangs. That's one of the reasons why I'm still alive today, and in fact, that's one of the reasons probably why I'm a pastor today. Because of the fact that my mom was strict and she disciplined us correctly. But you know what? This can't be said of every generation or of every young person within that generation. There are children out there. There are young people that curse their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, they think they're always right. They think they can do no wrong, that the old people, they don't know what they're talking about. They're not cool. They don't know what they're talking about. They're pure in their own eyes. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. What is that talking about? They're prideful. They're arrogant. Lofty means they're prideful. And their eyelids are lifted up. In other words, they're just like this snobby person. Okay? There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Sometimes young people, they just don't have a filter when they talk. You know, they're in the streets cussing, talking about vulgar things. They're disrespectful towards adults. They have teeth that are as swords and jaw teeth as knives. So this goes without saying that sometimes young people or older people can often despise young people because of these things. Now, let me just say this, is that I am speaking from experience. Now, I'm 34 years old. I still consider myself to be young, okay? Why are you laughing? Okay, I don't know why you're laughing. I'm just kidding. But I will say this, you know, I got saved at the age of 21. And when you get saved and you're in an independent fundamental Baptist church, you come to the knowledge of the truth, you know what the Word of God says, there's a tendency to be a little arrogant and prideful, okay? Oh, not me. You're probably the one that I'm talking about, okay? You know, there's a tendency to be prideful and arrogant. And I remember when I was 21 years old that I was prideful. I had arrogancy. I didn't have the right type of disposition that a young person should have. But thank God that I had a pastor and I had older men to humble me, okay, to put me in my place, you know, to kick me off my high horse and to basically show me, hey, you're not all that. You're not all that you're cracked up to be or that you think you're cracked up to be. You know, and young people have a tendency to have that attitude sometimes. Now, look, especially in a church like this. Why? Because, you know what? We teach doctrine here. And young people come to the knowledge of the truth in various subjects at a very early age in their Christian life. And you know what that causes them to do? To be puffed up sometimes. To think that they're better than other people. This should not be the attitude of young people today, especially when it comes to Christians. Now, one of the reasons I'm preaching this is because, thankfully, we do have a lot of young people in our church. Amen? We have a lot of young people, and this is a good thing. This says a lot about our church. By the way, I'm losing my voice, if you haven't noticed, okay? Sorry. So if I crack, it doesn't mean that I'm a young person going through puberty, okay? I'm just losing my voice. So this says a lot about our church, and the reason for that is because, you know, a lot of churches are losing their young people. You know, a lot of churches, they're so lame and watered down and so lifeless that they're young people. This is the reason why they're going to the fun centers, the liberal churches, the Democrat type churches, where they just love everyone and everything's hunky-dory and let's just kumbaya with everyone. They don't take a stance for anything. And that's the kind of churches that young people are going to. They're flocking towards those churches. Whereas a church like ours, you know, we have young people in our church who are living for God. They're soul winning. They like the preaching of God's word. They enjoy hard preaching. They love the Lord. They love the lost. And this says a lot about our church. You know, it's good to have older people in our church, but it's in a sense better to have younger people too, because that's the next generation. This will secure the longevity of our church. When you have young people, when you have a church that only has gray heads, I mean, that church is not going to last. Doesn't matter how godly they are. You know, they could be the best people in the world, but you know what? If that church doesn't start reaching some young people, that church is going to die. And I've known churches, independent fundamental Baptist churches, where the pastor was like in his 80s and everyone was in their 80s and they're just older people, sweetest people in the world. But you know what? That will not last very long if they're not reaching the young people. And look, our church, we don't do things to try to reach the young people, like, you know, have hoochie mamas up here dancing and all kinds of worldly things to try to get their attention. And if you come, we're going to give you Xbox and all this stuff. We're not going to do that nonsense. You get what you get. Amen. If you come, this is what you're going to get. Hard preaching. You're going to get some excited, zealous ministry. And you know what? You better catch up. And that'll rub off on the young people. You know what? One thing about young people is that they like for you to tell it to them straight. They don't want you to lie to them. They don't want you to be fake with them. Well, great, because preaching's not fake. And so when they hear preaching that's unfiltered, it's not hypocritical, speaks from the heart, and uses the Bible, they like that, okay? But unfortunately, a lot of churches are not doing that. Therefore, their young people are flocking to these liberal churches, or they're just getting out of church, period, okay? And if they do retain any type of youth in their church, often these youth are a bunch of sissies. Just limp-wristed, sissy, wimpy, lame, unzealous, not on fire, apathetic, just type of Christians. They go there, and they go there because it's more of a social club. They just want to hang out with their friends or whatever. They don't go there for the preaching of God's word. Right. They don't go there because they have purpose in life. They go there because their buddy goes there, or because there's a girl that they like at the church or something, you know. And look, I'm not saying that's a bad reason to come to church, okay? You know, if you have a girl that you like at this church and you're coming, that's great. But you know, the main reason should be the word of God, service, etc. And so that says a lot about our church. But with that being said, because we have a lot of young people, guess what? Then there's going to be a tendency for the young people to exert these type of negative qualities that will cause the older people, not just in our church, but just in the community in general, to despise them. And look, young people, don't be the type of Christian where someone can look at you and says, man, I despise, this is one of the reasons I despise the youth today in 2020. It's because of guys like this. It's because of girls like this. You know, we should be examples unto the believers, right? So let no man despise thy youth. You know, the only people that should despise you are reprobates. Right? You know, reprobates and false prophets and lame Christians, these should be the type of people that despise you. I remember being at my old church, and when I got saved, I was zealous for the Lord, and I was soul winning. And, you know, I just started out so many. My father-in-law taught me how to preach the gospel. I learned about the King James Bible. And I was getting all this new information. And I remember I went to the Bible college, okay? Don't hold that against me. You know, I went to the Bible college there, and I was, like, questioning people on doctrine. And, you know, the group that hated me the most were the lamest Christians. The soft, effeminate Christians that were like, oh, you're just, like, trying to be spiritual or what? I was like, yeah. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be spiritual? Oh, you're just like, you're just trying to be like a spiritual, a Bible Billy? No, I'm Bible Bruce. Yeah, I thought we're supposed to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What day do we live in when you bring up a Bible topic and then people just like, oh, you just want to talk about the Bible? Well, what do you want to talk about, like baseball or something? You want to talk about like Justin Bieber? What's on your mind? You know, it should be that the atmosphere of our church is, amongst the young people, should be, hey, spiritual things. Amen. And again, I'm not saying that this is the constant conversation of our church, but you know, you stick around in our church, this is the common conversation that we have, right? It's centered around biblical things. And in fact, since we started the Revelation series, that's all we talk about. Is end times Bible prophecy. It's like sometimes we just can't wait to end a service, just start another service outside, talk about the seven seals, okay? But you know, the young people like that because they want to learn, okay? And so this morning, I want to give you a few points to help you to be examples and to avoid being despised. So let me give you a couple things that will cause people to despise you, young people. Okay. Number one, go with me if you would to Isaiah chapter number 40. Number one is pride. I already mentioned it, but pride will cause people to despise you. Look, if you're going to be despised for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. And pride will cause people to just get away from you, not want to fellowship with you. You will become an unsavory person in the mouth of those who are around you if you are prideful. You know, the Bible tells us these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look is the first one. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. When young people are prideful, arrogant, and snobby, they're despised. When they think they're just better than everyone else and they're just the cream of the crop and they just got it all together, you know what? Older people, they despise that. People just in general despise prideful people, right? When people are just arrogant and prideful. And one of the reasons young people have a tendency to be prideful is because they have vitality. They have energy. They have life, right? And they think like, oh, I'm not going to die until like I'm 100 or something. Not knowing that, you know what, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 17-year-olds die too. 20-year-olds die too. 25-year-olds die too. Don't have this attitude that nothing can happen to you. You're invincible. You're going to live forever. No, the attitude should be that you need to number your days. That you need to ask God to help you, to give you wisdom, to number your days and use your days efficiently so that you do something significant in this life in case you lose your life tomorrow. Okay? Don't be a prideful person. You know, when you come to our church, young people, you should greet everyone. And let me just let you know something. Let me just teach you something, young people. You're not God's gift to this church. Like, I know you want the red carpet to be rolled out for you when you come to church. It's like, I'm here. You know what I mean? You just want everyone to greet you and treat you with that type of treatment. But you know what? You should come here wanting to be a blessing to others. Amen. Now, what's the opposite of pride? Humility, right? Being humble, being willing to go up to others and serve others and be a blessing to others and say a kind word to other people, this is humility. Pride is when you come to church and you just plop your bottom down in a seat and just don't talk to anybody. You're like, well, why don't you talk to anybody? Oh, because I'm here for the preaching of God's word, bless God. Church is for the preaching. Church is for God's word. I don't got time for that. Anybody got time for that? Everyone, yeah, actually everyone else does. That's why they come early to church and talk to people. Okay. Well, that's not in my personality. Well, guess what? You as a Christian, you don't have the luxury to not be social. Did you know that? Because as Christians, we actually literally have the responsibility to go tell a stranger that they're going to hell. That takes a level of social skills that most people don't have. Hey, how's it going? You know, and then you just like a couple minutes later, you're going to hell. Right? And the way you believe is wrong. And you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes a level of social skills that most people don't have. But you know what? You say, well, that's what I do. Okay, well, how about here, though? If you can tell a complete stranger that, why is it hard for you to tell someone you already know, how's it going? What's your name? What did you do this week? You know, some of you, it's not that you're spiritual. Some of you are just prideful is what it is. Okay. You need to break out of your shell. You need to go talk to people. And look, when you come to church, don't just look for your crew. You know, everyone's got cliques in the church and stuff, you know. You know, you need to get out of your clique and go talk to people. I guarantee you, a church our size, there's people you just don't know. that you've seen for months and you still don't know them. And you know, some people are like, oh yeah, I don't want to say hi to them because they've seen me, I've seen them for like the last year and I still don't know their name. You know, that's true. So this is what you do. You say, you know what? Or you go to their husband or their spouse and say, what's their name? Or you go ask someone else. Or you could just go to them and say, hey, you know, I'm really sorry. I've seen you here multiple times, but I've never actually gone out to, you know, shake your hand and get to know you. What's your name? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's humble, right? Prideful is just like you just avoid that person because you just don't want to admit the fact that you don't know their name. Okay? So don't be a prideful, arrogant snob, okay? Nothing worse than a Christian snob, okay? Because the Christian life should be characterized by humility, all right? And now, as I mentioned, is that sometimes young people, they feel like, you know what? They got it all together. They got all the strength that they need, all the energy that they need. But look what the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is saying, hey, even the young people who are filled with energy and vitality and life, even they're going to faint. Even they're going to grow weary. Because energy and true vitality, spiritual vitality, comes from waiting upon the Lord, praying, reading the Bible. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. So, hey, the first quality here that you should avoid if you don't want to be despised as a young person is pride. Ask yourself this. Am I prideful? You know, am I arrogant? Am I snobby? Do I act like I'm just all that? Do I think that I'm better than anybody else? If that's the case, humble yourself. Okay? Now, number two. What's another thing that would cause others to despise the youth? A zeal that's not according to knowledge. A zeal that's not according to knowledge. Okay? When young people lack knowledge, understanding, and experience, but they act like they have all three, they are despised. Right? You know, when they act like they know what they're talking about, but then when you hear them talk, you're like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But he acts like he knows what he's talking about. That person becomes despised. And look, folks, this happens sometimes, okay, where people will just open their mouths and make a judgment call or give out some weird information, and they act like they're experts in that field, but you know, according to these words, they're not. It's like, this doesn't even sound right. This will cause people to despise the youth, okay? There's nothing wrong with just saying this, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with not knowing specific things. You know that? There's nothing wrong with someone asking you a question and saying, I have no idea. Look, I'm the pastor here and I do that. If someone asks me something about the Bible or something, and I just don't know, I'm just like, I have no idea. I would have to look into that. Or just about life in general. If someone asks me something and I just don't know, I'm not going to make up an answer. Just to kind of, you know, have credibility with people. No, you actually lose credibility when you give information that's not valid. Point people to the right person instead, right? You know, when we preach on specific sins and you roll your eyes like it doesn't apply to you, you have a zeal that's not according to knowledge. You know, if while you're listening to this sermon, you're just like, not this again. First of all, check number one, pride. But number two, you just could have no knowledge or experience of what I'm referring to. You know, we want to be the kind of Christians that when we come to church and we hear the preaching of God's word, we can apply everything, right? It's applicable to us. And look, this is important because often Christians, when they're young, they just get saved. You know, they're zealous for the things of God. They have a lot of excitement and they have a lot of enthusiasm for the things of the Lord. But what happens is if they don't couple that with knowledge, they make a lot of mistakes. They offend a lot of people. They make a lot of mistakes and they don't have that experience. So how can you counter that? Well, get around people who do have experience. And look, there's people in our church who've been around the block. There's people in our church who have experienced life, take advantage of that knowledge. You know, I commend the older people that are in our church who are older than me that follow me. I'm their pastor and I'm younger than them. But you know what? I'm not so arrogant and prideful that I will not go to them and say, hey, I need your advice on this area. Why? Well, you're the pastor. You shouldn't do that. Well, why would I not take advantage of someone who has knowledge, who has been on this earth longer than I have? Amen. Pride says I can't go to anybody, right? Humility says, well, I need anybody, as many people as I can. A multitude of counselors, there is safety, okay? Look at Proverbs 7, verse 5 says, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, referring to God's word, the wisdom of God's word, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, the Bible says. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So this guy is establishing a relationship with the whore. Whore's in the Bible, guys, okay? Establishing a relationship with the whore. And why is that? Because he lacks understanding. He is acting foolish. Now look, this was written a long time ago, but nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. How many can you attest to either your personal life or someone that you know who's a young person who fell in love with the wrong person, right? How many of you say, I know of a person who fell in love with the wrong person, and you try to knock some sense to that person, and they're just like, but I love them. It's like, he's a crack addict. He sells drugs. He's been in and out of prison. And it's just like, but I love him. I can change him. It's just like, you lack understanding. You're like a youth. You know what I mean? It's just like, I love her. It's like, she's trying to bankrupt you. She's trying to take your money. It's like, how much does she need? You've met people like that, right? I met plenty of people like that, where it's just like, you try to talk sense, it's like, be logical, think about this. And they're just like, I am thinking. I'm thinking about her, I'm thinking about him. And they're just in love, and you just can't knock any sense into these people. And by the way, parents, this is why it's important that you win the hearts of your children. Right? It's important that you win the hearts of your children so that they trust you. Okay, so that when you come to them and you say, hey, honey, you know, there's this person is just not really good for you. He just looks like a bad guy. You know, she might like him, but she'll say, well, you know, dad, because I trust you and I know you have my best interest in mind, I'm gonna trust you with that. You know, that's what we want, right? We want our sons, obviously we're not going to, you know, just determine who they marry, but you know, we want our sons to come to us and say, hey, dad, what do you think about this? You know, what's your thought on this? Should I be dating this person? It's like, son, she's 40 years old. No, you shouldn't. And he's like 17 or something or whatever, you know? It's like, not a good idea. It's like, you sure, dad? You know? He's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. Now, you know, you think that's funny, but the reality is that some young people are that stupid. Right? They're that dumb where they just cannot see the logical aspect or the ramifications of their actions, okay? And because they can't see the ramifications of their actions, they need people with experience and understanding to filter their situation and say, talk some sense into this person and say, hey, this is not a good idea, okay? But hey, on the flip side, sometimes, you know, some young guys or some young ladies just don't have any understanding and it's just like, hey, guys, there's this young lady, she's a godly lady, you should go for her. And they're just like, no, I don't really, you know, think, you know. They need some sense to be knocked into them as well. So the lack of understanding goes both ways, okay? What I'm saying is this, is that zeal is great, but you need zeal that's according to knowledge, okay? You need to make sure that you grow in knowledge. And look, obviously, there's some aspects of life that have knowledge that you will not get until, you know, they require years, right? It requires for you to make mistakes. It requires for you to have failures, etc. But the way you supplement that is by asking counsel from those who have been through that road before, okay? And there's nothing wrong going with an adult who has a successful marriage, has raised children successfully, and asking them for advice. Look, I have little ones. Don't ask me my advice for your adult children. You know, ask other people. Ask Brother Eddie. Ask Brother Politis. Ask Brother Albert. Ask someone else who actually, you say, oh man, I mean, don't you feel bad that you're doing? No, I don't. Because here's the thing, at the end of the day, I want you to succeed in your family. I want you to succeed in your marriage. And you know what? I can give you my opinion as far as what to do with adult children, but at the end of the day, you should go to those who have successfully done it. And so a zeal that's not according to knowledge. Now, go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you have pride, that will cause people to despise you, despise your youth. If you have a zeal that's not according to knowledge, people will despise your youth. Here's number three, okay? Immaturity will cause people to despise your youth. When people are absent of the aspiration to just grow up, adults despise that, okay? The worst thing in 2020 is grown men who are, you know, physically adults, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, they're just babies. You know, a grown man who has a family, a wife, and children, but he's still playing video games. Okay, now look, if you play video games, just don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Okay, it's like, hey man, that's cool you mentioned that, because I play video games. It's like, are you going to stop? He's like, well, you know, I'm not planning really to stop. I'm just saying that's what I do, you know. If you play video games, okay, but you know what? That shouldn't be your life. To some people, some men, that's their life. And look, if you're getting a little embarrassed right now, that means you're probably spending way too much time playing video games. If you're blushing right now and you're just kind of, you just can't wait till point number four comes up, you're the one I'm talking to, okay? Immaturity. Look, I remember growing up as a little child and even going into, you know, 12, 13, I couldn't wait to be an adult. I couldn't wait to get married. I couldn't wait to have a job. I worked my first job when I was like 12 or 13 because I wanted to grow up. I wanted people to respect me. I wanted to be able to provide for a wife and kids. I wanted to be a man. That's not the case today. Today, men don't want to grow up. They want to remain a Toys R Us kid. They live in this Peter Pan society where it's just like, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. It's just like, you need to grow up. Yeah. And look, young people, if you don't want people to despise your youth, you need to grow up. You know, there should be an aspiration, a desire within you to say, man, I need to get my stuff together because I want to get married one day. I want to move out, live with my wife, have children, have a successful family, lead a family unit, be responsible. That's what I want for my life. But instead, what do you have? I want anime. Oh, I'm getting on anime right now, okay? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? Now, what is anime? It's Japanese animation. Pokemon. You know, Yu-Gi-Oh! What else? Dragon? Who said that? Dragon Ball Z. Give me another one. This point's for you. Full Metal Alchemist. That's like level 5 of like anime or something. Now look, guys. This is nonsense. And look, I know how this works. Basically, when it comes to anime, some people like it's an actual world to them. And I think even Moses told me, he's like, this is like a form of escapism for some people. Yeah. They escape to that realm, you know? And sometimes you wonder, like, this guy, you know, he's a good guy, he's a good person, but there's a level of immaturity. Where does that come from? It comes from anime. It comes from anime. Why don't they want to get married? Anime! Because they're married to some stupid drawing. Some blonde Japanese animated girl, you know, on the screen that they're in love with. It's funny, but it's ridiculous. Get yourself a real woman. Not some animated Japanese girl. Sailor Moon, or what is that? This is nonsense, folks. Look, I remember being 7 years old, 6 years old. I'd watch Batman, okay? I watched Spider-Man. I watched Superman. Yeah, I watched X-Men. Okay, all right. All right, man. This is you right here, man, all right? And I would watch these, but you know what? I remember, like, after a while, you turn it off. Because after a while, I'm just like, I see my brother working, I see adults, I see men, and I'm like, I want to be like that. And I know I can't be that way if I'm watching cartoons, playing with toys. You know, I want to get married one day, but you know what? We got to put away the anime if that's going to happen. You know why? Because no woman is going to respect a 25-year-old guy who still watches anime. Unless you hide it from her, then you guys get married, and now she's stuck. She's like, dang, I didn't know this is part of your life. He's like, it's not part of my life. It is my life. You know, immaturity, folks. You know, there might be some guys in here who secretly live in this world. Well, this world is going to come crashing down this morning. Because you should move on and grow up, okay? Amen. Look, grow up, be responsible. Grow up, get a job. Amen. Get a job. Amen. And I'm not, look, notice that I'm not saying get a perfect job, right? The perfect job is where you have your perfect wages, the perfect hours, your boss is an independent fundamental Baptist. On your break, you guys go soul winning together. This doesn't exist. He said, what should I do? Little Caesars, McDonald's, something where you work and then you earn money. This is what you should do. Look, when I was 12 years old, I got a job washing dishes. And I got paid under the table, okay? Because I told the boss, I was like, I want to work. You know, I want to help my mom pay the bills. I was like, I want to help my mom with the groceries. I want to help her with something. And look, the money that I earned didn't even do much, but just the fact that I gave it to her said something, right? I was like, after school, I'll come here and I'll work. And I remember I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I got a job. I was like, so I need you to give me a ride to work. And she's like, I'm not giving you a ride to work. She's like, you drive yourself to work. I'm like, I'm 12. And she was like, it's fine, just gas, pedal, and... I'm like, she's like, do you know how to get to work? Do you know the direction? I was like, yeah, no. She's like, well, take the freeway. I'm like, I've never been on the freeway. She's like, it's fine. Just stay on the far right lane, the slow lane. You'll be fine. Put on your seatbelt. Look both ways. You're good. Dang. Yeah. You know, I'm thankful for that, though, because I became a responsible young man at a very young age, you know. And you know what? I wasn't thinking about anime. I wasn't thinking about Sailor Moon. I wasn't thinking about Pokemon. Yep. Look, this is why you have these old guys in their 30s and 40s still playing Pokemon cards and going to the conventions and stuff. Well, that's a form of making money, though. You know, I can make money doing that. Yeah, but here's the thing. You're a Christian. You are a Christian, okay? You can make money off of gambling, too, right? You can make money off of selling drugs, too. Doesn't mean you should. Okay. Look, when Paul sent Titus to go ordain elders to provide that which is lacking in those islands and to go provide elders and train people, I guarantee you he wasn't involved in childish activities. This man, Titus, was discipling men. And in fact, in Titus chapter 1, Paul's giving him the qualifications of a pastor for a man. This guy is young. In chapter 2, he's like, this is what you're supposed to be preaching. Telling the aged women, the young men, the young women, the older men to be grave. I mean, he's instructing and discipling older people. And then at the end of chapter 2, he says this, let no man therefore despise you. He says, these things speak and exhort and teach, and let no man despise you. Why? Because, hey, you can't despise a young man who's got his stuff together, who's teaching others, who's discipling others, okay? So what I'm saying is this, is you know what will cause you to be despised amongst the community and even amongst in a church is a lack of maturity, guys. It's time to grow up. And look, I don't say this because I'm mad at you. I don't get mad when people watch anime. You know, I'm just like disappointed. It's just disappointing is what it is. Because I feel like you've been given much, right? You've been given the King James Bible, salvation. It's like God has chosen us to be like the elite, right? Giving you all this knowledge and wisdom and Bible and doctrine. You know how to preach the gospel. He's given you so much, and yet you're still choosing the rudiments of this world. The weak and beggarly elements of anime. It's like, why are you building those things which you've destroyed? It's time to grow up, okay? You know, maturity recognizes that today's decisions bring tomorrow's judgments. So you know what mature people do? They think about their actions. They think about the decisions they're going to make. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So he's telling them, hey, your days and your youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart if you want to, and you know, go your way, but just know this, God will bring thee into judgment. What is he saying? Your actions have consequences. Okay. So look, this should be the desire of every young man. One of two things. Okay. Number one, if you don't want to get married yet, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay. If you're like, well, I don't really feel like getting married. Okay. Then dedicate your time to serving the Lord. Dedicate your time to work, to learning how to work. Because a man should learn how to work. Dedicate your time to learning how to work. And serving the Lord. This should be what your time is dedicated to. But if you're like, well, I do want to get married. Okay, dedicate your time to learning how to work. That just like never changes. And seeking a spouse. And by what I mean by seeking a spouse is preparing to be the kind of man that should deserve a spouse. Right? Becoming the kind of man that deserves to have a spouse that you would want, you know, your wife to be proud of. Okay? And look, I know people in my personal life, they're literally in their 40s, 50s, still bumming money off of other people, not working. If they had it their way, they would still live with mom, right? They would still live with mom, and they have children out of wedlock, and they're just losers. That is a loser life, folks. We're like, well, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but your little anime habit is going to take you to that route. That's your end game there, buddy. You want to be anime. You like anime. You want to just not let go of the childish things of this world. It's instilling with you a type of mentality and discipline that's going to affect you when you're 40. That's why you see guys in their 40s and 50s still hanging out with the young guys. Why? Because they're not hanging out with their wife. They're not hanging out with their children. They're not doing that which is significant in this world. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 5. So immaturity, guys, will cause people to despise you. Okay? It'll cause people not to respect you if you don't grow up. You know, every man should desire to be respected. Right? I want to be respected by by my wife. I want to be respected by my children. I want to be respected by my church members, by just people just in general. That's what a man desires. But you know what? You're not going to be respected if people find out that you're like watching anime. If that's your life. Okay? Because people look down on stuff like that. This is for children. All right, what's another thing that caused people to despise the youth? A lack of commitment. Okay? When the youth don't commit their lives to a worthy cause, they are despised. This is why, like, young people today, they like to sleep around and fornicate. And, the guy wants to be a playa-playa. He wants to have all kinds of girlfriends and stuff. You know, that is wicked. It's wrong. It's filthy. It's garbage. You should desire to be with one woman. Amen? Young people like to do those things and have multiple partners, and they think that's an admirable attribute, but it's not. It just shows that you have a lack of commitment. You're unstable, right? It's a filthy attribute, actually. You know what? And by the way, let me just say this, is that the consequence to sleeping around and fornicating and going around with different types of partners, you know what? That's why you're going to get STDs. That's what you're going to get, syphilis and gonorrhea and potentially AIDS. At that point, it's not fun. It's not fun when you have herpes. Oh, this is disgusting. Why are you talking about the good? Think that it's disgusting. Think that it's filthy. Know that it's wrong, it's wicked, and it's filthy, and it's going to destroy your life. That way, it deters you from ever doing such a thing. You know, it's not cool to have multiple girlfriends and sleep around with multiple partners. It's disgusting and it's filthy. There's a virus out there called AIDS. There's a virus out there called herpes and gonorrhea and chlamydia. That's not necessarily fun. Commit to one spouse, amen? Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 5. And look, young people have a hard time committing to a job, have a hard time committing to a woman, have a hard time committing to anything. You should be characterized by consistency and faithfulness. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 5:15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Hey, if you're married and you're young, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Amen? You should be faithful. You should be committed to your spouse. And look, often a person who's not faithful to their spouse, they're just not faithful in any area. They're jumping from job to job to job to job. They can't hold anything down. They're not excelling in their personal life because of that. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. What's another quality that will cause people to despise you? Being narcissistic. You say, what is that? When it's all about you, right? When you're self-absorbed. When every time you walk by a mirror, you're just like. When every time you walk by a car and there's like a window in the car, you're just like. You just constantly have to look at yourself in the mirror, right? You're narcissistic. I don't really appreciate that. Then stop doing it. You know, when like the mirror is your best friend, you're constantly looking at yourself in the mirror, constantly looking, you know, just absorbed with yourself. You're just constantly, you're consumed with yourself. You're in love with yourself. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. When the youth become self-absorbed, selfish, and vain, they're despised. Okay? Look, folks, this is why I'm not sad. And I said it last week and I'll say it again. I'm not sad that Kobe Bryant died. I know a lot of people are offended by that and they're just like, how can you say that? I want to talk to those people and say, did he pay your bills? Does he even know who you are? Right? That guy made millions off of you. And I'm not saying despise him. I'm not saying we should hate him. You know, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this, is that people who are in the sports industry, whether UFC or even NBA or whatever, these people are self-absorbed. These people are narcissistic. It's all about them. Right? It's all about them. It's all about their image. It's all about who they are, having the right type of body. And, you know, it's just all about them. You know, that's why followers on Instagram, it's kind of a fallacy, isn't it? Because here's the thing, is just like, you may be able to follow him or follow her, and she may even follow you, but that does not mean anything at all. You know what it means? It means they clicked the button. They just clicked follow, okay? A lot of these people are just self-absorbed and narcissistic, okay? You know, when they have their images everywhere and people are just bowing down to their image, this is not a quality that you should have. You know, we should not be lovers of our own selves. We should be lovers of God and a lover of people. Take the attention from off ourselves and put it upon others, okay? Now look, don't go the other extreme though, where you just don't take care of yourself at all.
Right.
Okay. Like, well, yeah, man, I like that point on narcissism. I'm not even going to shower. I'm not going to comb my hair. I'm not going to brush my teeth because I don't really care about my... I love others. Okay, then if you really love others, then brush your teeth. If you really love others, then take a bath. Then put on deodorant. Oh, I don't want deodorant because it has all that toxic. Okay, then do something so you don't smell. Right?
Yeah, right.
Be kind to others by not offending others with your odor. It's funny, but it's true. Okay, so there needs to be a balance. You know, don't just come to church or go in public and you just look like you just woke up out of bed. You still got the stuff in your eyes and stuff, and like, you know, dry saliva on your cheek or whatever. And you're just like, I don't care about what people think. You know, I'm not self-absorbed. You know, yeah, but you know, you're still an ambassador for Christ, though, right? You're still representative of Jesus Christ. There needs to be a balance between the two. And, you know, take the green stuff out of your teeth. You know, take the green stuff out of your eyes. You know, a mirror is not bad to see if there's any, like, imperfections. But what people do is they use the mirror to just look at their so-called perfection. It's there to show you, like, oh, man, you got, like, a booger that you should remove from your face. Okay? You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. All right, let me get on makeup for a little bit, okay? Makeup's not bad, you know. My wife wears a little bit of makeup, but some people do it, they just go overboard. I've seen videos where, like, a woman will have, like, makeup. And I know a lot of ladies are going to get offended at this. You know, too bad. Okay? You know, they put their face on. And then when they remove the makeup, it's like, it's a different person. It's like, how'd you do that? They literally have, my wife was telling me, they literally have tutorials. And ladies, you know what I'm talking about, too. They have tutorials where you can put makeup on to make it seem as though you have, like, high cheekbones. You guys know what I'm talking about? Although he's like... You know what I'm talking about. You can literally change the features of your face and look like a completely different person. They literally, like, put, like, makeup on in such a way where it makes them look thinner and skinnier. But it's just an illusion. It is an illusion. Okay? What's important? What's important is a meek and quiet spirit. That's what's important. And again, don't take this to the extreme and just be like, you know, okay, well, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to just, like, come to church. I'm just going to roll out of bed and just come to church or go in public like that. I'm not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is there needs to be a balance. Right? Now, if you're like, I'm completely against makeup, amen, more power to you then. Great. You know, I'm not against that either. What I'm saying is this, is the priority should always be on the meek and quiet spirit, which is what God is concerned with, is how are you inwardly, okay? you know, what kind of person you are on the inside. I know that's cliche, but it's true though. Because here's the thing, you know, if you marry a woman who paints her face on for her entire life, you know, when she's 60, 80, you know, it's not going to help anymore. Just being honest, okay? You said, what's going to be important to me? Who she is on the inside. That's what's going to be important. I'm not saying looks are not important. Look, I believe my wife is beautiful. You know, I'm very much attracted to my wife. I love the way she looks. But you know what? As we grow old, looks are no longer going to matter, folks. It's going to be who my wife is on the inside. It's her inward person that matters. You understand? So don't be this narcissistic person where you just got to look immaculate and you just got a cake on. You know, hey, guys, don't be so narcissistic that you just become this effeminate little faggoty guy. Don't pluck your eyebrows. You know, don't pluck your eyebrows. Don't, what else? What else do guys do that are effeminate? Come on. What? Shave. If I be shaving, I shall be weak and be as other men. That's what Samson said. Man buns. Oh. I already got on man bun last week. Okay.
At a barbershop, they'll even ask you if you want your eyebrows shaped.
If you want your eyebrows shaped.
They ask that.
I got it. Some guys are very narcissistic in that manner. You know, you go on Instagram and these guys are like super self-absorbed. They're... What is that? What is that? You know, where they're just so self-absorbed and they just live on social media and taking pictures. Have you ever been on a grid where it's just nothing but them? Their face? It's nothing but their face. You know what that means? They love how they look. And I know Instagram is where we can take pictures of ourselves and our families and stuff or whatever, eating food and all that. But some people literally, I've gone through grids where it's literally their face the entire time. It's just like, do you know no one's hitting the like on this, on any of these? The two likes that you have is your wife and you, or like someone else and you, you know? Narcissism, being narcissistic can cause you to be despised, okay? It can cause, why? Because people don't like a prideful, narcissistic, self-absorbed person. Okay, and again, don't carry this on the two extremes. Just be balanced. You know, hey, well, I believe when you come to church, you ought to bring your Sunday's best. You ought to come. Hey, we're coming to God's house. This is the King's house. If you're coming to God's house, the King's house, dress like you're gonna meet a king. Jesus Christ. You know, I know if Trump were to come in here, if you were to go before Trump, you'd dress up, right? Bunch of Republican people, you know, if Trump said that he was coming to your house, you'd clean up, you wear your best tie, your best suit. Forget Trump. What about Jesus? Amen. You know, when we come to God's house, this is the most important house that you can attend. We ought to wear our best here, right? And look, if your best is like an iron shirt, polo, you know, with khakis or whatever, amen. What I'm saying is this, is that you should be balanced and you should wear your best if that's what you have. But not at the expense of the inner man. The inner man is the most important one, okay? All right, let me skip some ones here. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Narcissistic, self-absorbed, immature, prideful, arrogant, zeal without knowledge. These are the qualities that will cause you to be despised as a young person. Okay. How about this? Being disrespectful towards authority and elders. That will cause you to be despised. Or how about this? Not being teachable. This will cause you to be despised. If you can never be instructed, if you can never be corrected or reproved, people will despise you. Okay. And let me say this. Some of the older people that can't take correction, it's because they couldn't take correction when they were younger. And they built that habit of always being right, never being wrong. You can't tell me that I did anything. I never do anything wrong. It's like, you're arrogant, you're prideful, you're puffed up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not teachable. Okay? And look, if you want to succeed in our church, if you ever want to be sent out of our church or even be a team leader, which is a lofty position, you need to be teachable. You know what that means? That means when a team leader tells you you've done wrong, take it. Take it like a man. If he tells you you've done wrong or you didn't do something right, don't try to just defend yourself. Just say, you know what? I didn't see that before, but thank you for telling me that. Take it like a man. Be a teachable person. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. You know, the person who thinks he knows anything or everything doesn't know anything at all. The person who will know a lot of things is the person who's willing to admit, I don't know much, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to be taught. I want to learn. Teach me. Be a teachable type of a person, okay? I'm out of time. Let me see here. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. I was going to talk about the lack of initiative can cause you to be despised when you're apathetic. When you just don't take responsibility, a lack of experience, when the youth disregard counsel of those who have been around the block, you are despised. You know, you think of David when he was about to fight Goliath. He went to Saul, and you know, what did Saul say? You're but a youth. And what did David say? Yeah, but I killed a lion and a bear. He said, well, isn't that being prideful? No, because when he was given armor, he said this, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. So he knew his strengths and he knew his weaknesses. You understand? All right, here's the last one. A lack of discretion can cause you to be despised. What I mean by discretion? Just not thinking when you talk. Okay? When the youth speak without thinking, they're despised. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Whoa. What does it mean to be hasty in spirit? You just blurt out whatever just comes to mind. You just let it fly. You know what the Bible says? You're not exalting Christ. You're actually exalting your own foolishness. When you just blurt out everything that comes to mind, what you actually show is that you're an idiot. Oh, you shouldn't call people in church idiots. This is what the Bible says. You know why? Because it takes wisdom to filter what you're going to say. You don't just blurt everything out. If you have something to say, think about it for a while and say, man, is this stupid? Is this going to make me look stupid? Is this going to cause people to despise me as a youth? Yes. I'll say it anyways. Then you're really stupid. But if you're like, yeah, I think that's going to cause, you know, then and you don't say it, then you know what? You're a wise person. Because a wise person holds it in until afterwards. And look, sometimes things need to be said, amen? Sometimes the truth needs to be told and it's the perfect timing, or maybe it's not the perfect time, excuse me. The truth needs to be told and it's not the perfect timing. You wait until afterwards. Maybe you're ticked off and you need to say the truth, but you're too mad and you're going to say it in a way that's going to cause your brother to be offended and his contentions are going to be like the bars of a castle, the Bible says. Maybe that's not the right time to say it. Maybe you need to wait a little bit, okay? Look at Proverbs 29. Verse 20, I'm going to read to you from Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, a guy who is soon angry is a foolish man. A guy who can't control his temper is a foolish person, the Bible says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. You know why? Because he's able to control his emotions. You know? You say, well, you're getting angry right now. Yeah, because I planned it. I planned to get angry. But you know what? If you have a short fuse and you just can't control your temper and you just get mad at the drop of a hat when someone corrects you, you're a fool. You're a foolish person. You need to rule yourself. Okay? In fact, I would say this. You're just an emotional person. You've consumed far too much soy. Yeah. You know, we need to be meek, which is strength that under control. Okay, look at Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Oh, man, I made a mistake then. Because I said you're a fool if you're hasty in spirit. Actually, the Bible says a fool actually has more hope than you do. Ouch. So here's the thing, young guys. You know, before you decide to tell a joke, before you decide to blurt out a statement, think about what you're going to say before you do it. Well, I'll just pick up the scraps afterwards if I mess up. No. No. And look, let me say this. You know, especially if you're looking for a spouse, be the type of person that is able to filter what you're saying in your mind before you actually blurt it out. Because if you don't, you will be despised. And look, here's the worst place to be when you think you're not being despised. You're just like, no, everyone loves me. Everyone thinks I'm great. That's the worst place to be. So analyze yourselves, evaluate yourselves, young people, and think, man, do I have any of these qualities in my personal life? And look, I'll be the first one to say this. When I was young, I had many of these qualities. I struggled with many of these things. Okay? There. Prideful, zeal without knowledge, no discretion. Because this is just something that's common amongst young people. But here's the thing. You don't want to remain that way. The 50-year-old who's still into anime, that's the only thing I didn't have, actually. I wasn't into anime, okay? But the 50-year-old who's still into anime, the 50-year-old who is still angry and wrathful, the 50-year-old who still doesn't have discretion, he never fixed it when he was young. He never fixed it in his 20s. He never fixed it in his teens, okay? So what's the message today? The message is simply this. Grow up. Amen? Grow up. And if this list was too long for you, then just pick one that you can work on for now. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the example of the Bible. Thank you for examples in our living examples that we have in our personal lives who exemplified manhood, exemplified what it is to be a responsible person, and inspired us to be the same. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be people, Lord, whether young or old, that would not exert any of these qualities. Help us to be humble, to have a zeal that's according to knowledge, to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be discreet with our words, Lord, and to understand that our actions have consequences. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, help our young people. Thank you so much for all the young people who are here today. I love all our young people, and I feel they got a bright future ahead of them, but these are some things that will tighten up the screws and help them to become better Christians and more honoring unto you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.